9.
Hello, said the faceless man, turning its mask toward Eli.
Please drop the weapon, Mr. Teague. If you could both put your hands above your head, it would...
The sides of Harry's colonial coat flapped open. Her hands swung up, each holding a pistol. The guns thundered in the open space. 3, 4, 5, too many shots, and the faceless man staggered back, kicked hard in the chest. Eli flinched away, glanced back, and saw no blood on the fallen man. Harry spun, shoulder-checked him, and ran. 3 long strides carried her past him, over the plants, to the sidewalk. Tires squealed and horns wailed again as she sprinted across the street.
Come on!
She bellowed over her shoulder. The faceless man sat up next to his car. He didn't seem to notice the bullet holes in his coat or pale shirt. He reached for his fallen pistol, a movement with no urgency behind it. Another mirror-black Hudson Hornet roared up Pasadena Avenue, and another chorus of tires and horns echoed across the small park as drivers avoided it. Eli heard the heavy, hollow crunch of 2 cars colliding as the big sedan charged onto the island and came to rest along the southern point of the triangular park. Eli turned and ran. He lurched, thrown off balance by the flintlock rifle he clutched and didn't dare release. The leafy plants crunched under his feet.
Hello, Mr. Teague, boomed a voice behind him. You were instructed to remain in your hometown. You haven't followed these instructions.
The cars in the street hadn't worked back up to speed, so Eli earned more angry honks than screeching brakes as he dove through traffic. An SUV scuffed its tires and bumped him just hard enough to stagger him. The rifle clattered against the grill. The big truck's driver, a woman with platinum blonde hair, shouted at Eli through the windshield. Then the windshield spiderwebbed with a bang as a gunshot rang out behind him. The driver screamed. Eli barely pushed himself off the big car's hood before she gunned the accelerator and sped away. 20 yards ahead, Harry yanked open the Model A's passenger door. She threw herself across the rumble seat and behind the wheel. The engine coughed once and let out a roar of its own. The car lunged forward a few feet just as Eli reached it. He dove into the passenger space just as Harry slammed the car into reverse. Momentum threw Eli off the seat, and the flapping door banged against his shin. The rifle's barrel hit him in the side of the head. Outside, the pavement rushed past the car. He pushed himself back up onto the bench. Harry had her arm over the seat, craning her neck to see out the rear window while she drove full speed down the street in reverse. The transmission whined with the effort. Through the windshield, Eli could see the faceless men. 2 of them. They stood in the middle of the street and stared down the road after the old car. A horn blared. Harry swerved the car and Eli grabbed the dash to keep from being flung out the passenger door. The Model A swerved again, sharp. The wheels on the passenger side lifted off the road and Eli slid back into the car, bumping up against Harry. She shoved him away and slammed the pedals to the Model A's floor. The vehicle lunged forward. The passenger door slammed shut, and the seat back hit Eli right below the shoulder blades. The rifle shook free of his grip and fell between him and the door. Harry spun the steering wheel back and forth, hand over hand, like she was piloting a ship. The Model A wove through traffic. She ignored the yellow line and earned a few blaring horns and shouts. It took Eli a moment to recognize the cylindrical speedometer, but it swung back and forth with every sharp turn. He guessed their speed at around 60 miles an hour. Through what looked like a residential area, maybe even the outskirts of some kind of college. The engine didn't seem to be straining at all. Harry wove around a pickup and muttered something under her breath. She spun the wheel again and the passenger door thumped Eli in the side. There didn't seem to be any seat belts, which made sense for a 1929 Model A, he realized. What? Eli flinched as the old car slid between a moving truck and a green sedan. What just happened? The Model A swooped around another corner. Eli braced his feet and pushed himself back against the seat. He didn't slide as much this time. Can we slow down a little? No. The road ahead was empty. Harry shot straight through the stop sign at the end of the block without hesitation. She glanced over her shoulder without slowing. Eli looked back too. The road looked empty for at least 2 blocks. But then he caught a glimpse of something black and gleaming. He could hear the growl of the Hudson Hornet's big engine as it closed on them.
We have to get out of their range, she said. Their what? Their range.
Harry turned right at the next corner. There were no other cars, but she still didn't slow down. Eli pushed himself into the seat and managed to not end up pressed against her again. He heard tires screech and skid behind them, and the growl grew louder. He glanced through the rear window and saw the Hornet just a few dozen yards back. The Model A blasted through another stop sign. This time it got them a sharp bleat from a small blue car. The next cross street had a full stoplight, which Harry also ignored. Eli heard brakes squeal and flinched away from a close view of a bus headlight, and then they were through the intersection. Behind them, he heard a sharp squeal of brakes, and the deep growl faded away. He spread his feet a little wider as they went around the next corner. Again, Harry didn't move. She almost rode the car's controls, standing on the pedals and using the steering wheel to pull herself up off the rumble seat. It made him think of kids on bikes using their own weight to force every ounce of speed out of their cranks. Her ponytail swung out to the side and then back. The growl of the Hudson Hornet's engine faded more. Eli couldn't be sure, but it sounded like the car was driving in a different direction. It sounded like a distant freeway. Harry glanced at Eli, then back to the road.
"When people are scared," she said, "they tend to move in straight lines. That's why most people search for them that way."
"They do?"
"Have you ever heard stories of children lost in the woods? When it takes days to find them, how often are they right near where they first vanished? No one can find them because they're in the last place most people think to look."
Eli looked at the houses and cars as they flew past. "Isn't everything in the last place you look, technically?"
"The problem is," she continued, ignoring him, "if we don't make any turns, we just end up going where they expect us to go and they catch us. But if we make too many turns, we don't get out of their range."
"And they can catch us?" Eli guessed. She nodded once and spun them around another corner. A small dog on a leash yipped at them twice.
"What do you mean their range? Can they see somehow? Do they have—"
The memory of a blind superhero danced on the edge of Eli's thoughts.
"I don't know, radar sense or something?" "Mr. Teague," she said, "right now I'm spending a small part of my concentration driving this car, and a very large part reminding myself I shouldn't kick you out and leave you for them to find. Please consider this before distracting me or asking any further questions."
The Model A swerved around a pack of bicyclists, then cut them off to take another corner. Half a dozen angry men and women glared at Eli through orange-lensed glasses as the bikes clattered to a halt. A female voice followed them around the corner.
"Asshole!"
He let another two intersections go by before he asked,
"Where are we going?" "East at the moment. No, I mean, where are we? I know what you mean, Mr. Teague."
Eli looked over his shoulder. "Are they... do you think we lost them?"
"They're always following. It's just a question of how far behind they are."
He opened his mouth but closed it before any actual sounds came out. Harry looked back and cocked her head to listen for a few beats. Her shoulders dropped.
"I think we may have done it," she said. "I thought our goose was well and truly cooked when the second one showed up. I've never heard of anyone getting away from two of them."
Her feet shifted. The Model A slowed. The car still moved faster than the speed limit, but not so much it would gather more attention. Almost 2 minutes passed before she took another turn. Are you going to drop me off somewhere?" She guided them past a gorgeous green 1970 Chevy Chevelle. The lanky driver blinked at them as they went by. Eli heard the muscle car's engine rev behind them. It sounded small after the roar of the Hornet. He cleared his throat.
"Are you going to—" "I heard you the first time, Mr. Teague."
"Sorry," he said.
"You can call me Eli." "I think it's best if we keep things formal for now, Mr. Teague,"
Harry sighed.
"As tempting as it is to leave you here, I can't do it."
"Why?"
"Because they'd interrogate you and then kill you."
"Ah."
"If you were lucky, they'd kill you first."
He managed a nervous laugh.
"Yeah, lucky me."
"Can't question a dead man, right?" She glared at him.
"Of course they can," she said.
Her attention shifted back to the road.
"It just doesn't hurt as much when they cut the answers out of you."
Eli tried to come up with a response, but it withered in his throat. She shook her head. The ponytail swished back and forth across her back.
"I'm stuck with you, Mr. Teague,"